Hello.
Hey, Soraya, this is Jeff.
Hey.
So, are you ready to crash into our sophomore slump?
I wouldn't say it's a slump, but hey, let's give it a shot. Why don't we?
All right, let's get started.
Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage, Raspberry, and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a grubiar.
Let's get groovy. So today, we're going to be talking about the Bangles and Dream Syndicate.
Yay!
Yeah, so last week we talked about 3 o'clock and Rain Parade, the other two members of Paisley Underground, and today we're going to do the other two.
Yes, I'm excited for this.
Me too. Hey, I had a question for you.
Go for it.
Have you ever, so when we first met, one of the first times that we met face-to-face was at a Paisley Underground show in December of 2013, where all four of these bands had got together and reunited and played a show together.
Right.
At the Ford Theater in Los Angeles?
Yes, it was at Ford.
Ford Theater. That show was amazing.
It was insane.
All four of those bands I thought were top-notch.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But besides that show, had you ever seen the Bangles before?
So I had seen the Bangles, I mean, many, many years prior to that. But I will say it was the first time seeing Rain Parade, first time seeing Dream Syndicate.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Yeah, so it was my first time seeing Dream Syndicate as well. That show was amazing. But I had seen the Bangles play in San Diego when they released their All Over the Place album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I mentioned in episode one of our podcast that I had met the 3 o'clock at Lou's Records in Encinitas, California. The Bangles also did a in-store appearance where they were signing that album at the same record store at Lou's Records.
And they seems like a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it really is. It's still around. It's not what it used to be with record sales being what they are, but it's still around, which is great to see. But at the time, that album was just coming out and the four members of the band came to Lou's Records and did an in-store appearance.
Oh my gosh, that must have been a lot of fun.
It really was a lot of fun. I think other than that, I had also seen the Bangles opening up for Hoodoo Gurus.
Oh my gosh.
You remember that Australian band?
Yeah, I do.
And that was quite a big show. It was at UCSD in La Jolla. So when the Bangles were opening up for the Hoodoo Gurus in the gymnasium, it was quite a large crowd. So the Hoodoo Gurus had just released a couple of their singles, so they had a big draw. And the Bangles were the opening act. It was my first show going by myself to a concert. I remember that part about that show.
I'm sure you weren't solo for too long. Those Bangles shows are always, they were always filled with really cool people and people you could hang out with.
Exactly. So those kind of shows are always places where I end up with way more friends than I had going into the show.
I think that can be said for most of these bands. Like, you could go solo and walk out with at least, you know, a couple of friends made at the show. Yeah. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, it's a great community.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
So the songs that we've picked to focus on for this show from the Bangles are from their early period. So they started out as the Bangs, right? So they had a single that they put out by themselves on their own label. It was called Down Kitty Records. My song later that I'm picking is from that. But then they followed it up with an EP. And your pick is from that.
Right. I'm going to let you listen to it and then I'll talk about it a little later. Here you go. Mary Street.
Looking out your door,
Harmonies.
Oh, okay. So see, I talked about it in the first episode. I am a sucker, an absolute sucker for a good harmony. And that harmony, I remember when I listened to this particular song the first time, that was the thing that really hooked me. And over the years, I revisit the Bangles, but mostly their early period. And it's because that EP, and I may be mistaken, but I seem to recall my brother, who's a huge Bangles, Susanna Hoffs fan.
Oh, wow.
I seem to recall my brother bringing home a 45.
Oh.
And Mary Street was one of the songs. And I remember, and again, that could be my very selective memory.
Uh-huh.
But I'm almost positive it was 45, but nevertheless, I remember hearing Mary Street. Hassan played it for me, and I really, really liked it. And I kept playing it over and over and over.
Wow.
And there was just something about that song that I really, really liked, you know, that very young 15, 16-year-old mind. But there was something that really hooked me, and the harmonies were it. And now, as I was listening to the song again, I realized that my two choices this week have had a guitar riff that really just hypnotized me.
Wow.
So I think, you know, that's where my heart was when I was selecting my songs. But I have really good memories of hearing Mary Street, feeling it was a really fresh new sound. And again, it was echoing that 60s British pop that I was starting to listen to and explore. And so it just reminded me of it. And that's why I just love the song a lot. I have good memories with it. And it was just, I think, a really nice statement about the Bangles and their influences early on.
Yeah, that song makes me really happy when I hear it. It's just so fun, doesn't it?
Right? All that oh yeahs, and, you know, it's just so, you know, melodious. I just love it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about them is their melodies and their songs, as well as the harmonies. So all three, Susanna Hoffs, Debbie Peterson, and Vicki Peterson, they all take lead on different songs. And when the other two aren't singing lead, their harmonies just meld so nicely with who's ever taking the lead.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So it sounds like your brother was a big influence on on your...
My big brother, he was a big musical influence because I think he made it his goal to open me up to other musical styles and genres. I'm really grateful to that because I think my brother exposed me to some really cool songwriters, some very cool bands. And, you know, the 80s was just rife with really different bands with cool sounds. And, yeah, my brother exposed me to a lot of them.
That's nice. Yeah,
I'm grateful to him because he also started taking me to shows. And I think my parents were on board, you know, their young daughter, you know, from the Valley going to shows with her big brother. I think they felt a little safer about it. But the truth was, you know, once we got to the show, he would just go, listen. Pay attention to the bands, but basically don't bug me.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
No, but it was, I mean, it's true yeah. though, you know, yeah. I couldn't be whiny and
yeah.
You know, if we were at the Palace, we were there for what we were there for, you know?
Nice.
But yeah, no, my big brother was a big, big influence on me, especially in exposing me to different bands. So
that's great. I think it's an obligation of an older sibling to share with their younger sibling what good music should be.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Our younger brother, and I'm significantly older than my younger brother. I'm 10 years older than him.
Oh, wow.
When he was growing up, that's when rap was in its early days and a lot of really different people, different voices. And yeah, we influenced him a lot. And I don't think my younger brother's listening yet, but I'll just share this here. So we gave him a very steady diet when he was a little baby of a lot of new wave.
Oh, wow.
and some of the lyrics were the first things out of his mouth. It was really quite cute.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. So, Jeff, tell us what you picked.
Okay. So I had mentioned that the band put out a single on their own label that was called Down Kitty Records, and it had two songs on it. The B-side was called Call on Me, and what I'm going to play is the A-side of that 45 single, their first release that came out in 1981. We'll talk a little bit about it after it plays. This is Getting Out of Hand by Bangles. So many great things about that song as I'm listening to it.
So spit it out. What do you love about that song?
Okay, well, so memories is a big part of it for me. So you were mentioning your memories with your brother. So when I first was learning about the Paisley Underground, the single was the only thing that I could find at the time. And when the band first came out in 1981, they were known as The Bangs. And it was so cool that they were releasing this themselves. The 45 vinyl single, like I mentioned earlier, was on their own record label. And to me, that was so cool that a band at that time, when it was big 80s bands, a band could record and release something all on their own. So I have those memories of going to the record store and picking up the vinyl single. And this was the very first song that I had heard. And it just brings back just a flood of memories whenever I hear that song. But also on top of that, just hearing the guitar part and the bass playing, that real funky, that doom, 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 doom. So cool. So the band was made up of Susanna Hoffs, who played guitar, and she was one of the main singers. And then sisters, Debbie and Vicki Peterson. Debbie Peterson was the drummer, and Vicki Peterson was the lead guitar player, and they all sang lead. Their original bass player, I'm not sure the pronunciation of the last name, but Annette Zelinskas, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So her bass playing was just sounded so cool and so 60s sounding. But that lead on there, to me, every time I hear that lead, it totally has a very Beatlesque sound, like in the production.
Yeah.
And then it goes into this 12-string guitar part, and they're so jangly, and the guitars that they used, or at least that Susanna Hoffs used, was a Rickenbacker guitar, and that was the same kind of guitar that I was playing. It has a really distinct, jangly sound, and all of those elements of that song just make it shine for me.
You know, one, I love the song, right? And I'm so glad that you mentioned Annette, because that's how I knew the Bangles, and then when Michael Steele came in, I was just going, hmm. But, you know, things happen, you know, band members leave, you know, they come, they go. And when the band got together and played a show, it was a couple of years ago. Were you at that show at the Troop?
I was.
Was it? It was the Whiskey Go-Go.
Okay, I didn't see that one. I went to one at the Troubadour.
Then maybe it was the Troubadour where Annette came out?
She was at the show that I went to, but I understand that she's played a few shows with them.
Yeah. So I was really, really happy to see her. And totally on point and still rocking.
Exactly. Yeah.
But here's a little factoid. One of those things where, you know, I was looking for, I wanted to post a song on my Facebook wall. And I thought, getting out of hand, but I wanted a live version. And lo and behold, thank you to the internet and the interwebs. Somebody out in hyperspace and internet space posted audio of Getting Out of Hand sung, lead singer being none other than Mr. Michael Curcio from the 3 o'clock.
Wow.
And I swear it's just this really cool track. And then when I look at the information that the person who posted, it was a show at Cafe de Grand, or De Grande.
Okay.
From 1983.
Oh, my
gosh. Listen to the other bands, and I'm sure the 3 o'clock must have been on that, or Salvation Army must have been on that bill. Red Cross, Black Flag, The Bangs.
Wow. Wow. What a lineup.
Okay, but isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy.
But then hearing that song, and it's just really cool. So, yeah. It's a nice little treat. So it just speaks to how a lot of these bands from Paisley Underground, you know, not only were they playing shows together, but they were pretty supportive of one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you imagine being called, hey, you know, and Debbie calls out, Michael Curcio, Michael Curcio. And then he just walks up there, boom, and he just pops in.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that pretty cool?
That's super cool. I got to seek that one out. I don't think I've seen
it. Oh, yeah. I'll send it to you. Don't worry.
Nice.
Yeah. I know it all.
I'm just trying to imagine what that crowd would be like at that show with Black Flag.
You know what? The coolest crowd ever.
Right. Yeah.
Because it must have been the craziest mix from Red Cross to Black Flag to Bangles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Either. I mean, that just must have been cool.
Yeah.
Cool to look at, cool to be at, you know, all of it.
Yeah, I'll buy a ticket to that show for sure.
Let's find our way back machine and go back.
I want to do that. Hey, before we move away from the Bangles, a couple things that I wanted to note was, so they started off as the Bangs, right? But right. Apparently there was a legal issue. I believe there was another band called that. So they had to reissue the single, and when they reissued it from the Bangs to just Bangles. And on the front of the single, it says formerly the Bangs, which is interesting. And then for their next record, they put it out on a label, and the label was called Faulty Products. That was the EP that we just heard Mary Street from. And it was just a self-titled EP. And then that label went under after they released the EP. So poor Bangles trying to get started, right? First they come up with the Bangs, then they have an issue with the name. So they have to change their name. Then they put out this EP on this label, Faulty Products. And then the label ends up going out of business. Fortunately for all of us, IRS label picked up their EP and reissued it.
And they picked up so many other memorable bands from that era.
Exactly.
You know, IRS did us all a solid.
Yeah, that was such a great label. It really was. And I don't know if you remember, on the back of the EP, there's a photo of the four band members of Bangles around a microphone, and they're all playing instruments and singing, and it just has such a great visual for the four of them harmonizing together and playing together around a microphone. I just love that picture. But one thing, you know, I don't believe I've ever noticed was that their 80s releases are listed as Bangles on all of their records, and then the more recent records that they've done in the 2000s are listed as The Bangles. So, interesting.
You know, something tells me they probably trademarked the name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it does seem kind of like splitting.
Oh, yeah. Hits. Yeah.
You know, Bangles, The Bangles. Okay.
Yeah.
405 Freeway, The 405. It's on. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting and something I never noticed before. But yeah, you're right. Hey, so...
Go for it now. We're going to switch, yeah?
Yep.
So talk to me.
So, man, what a switch this will be. So all of these bands were lumped together as part of the Paisley Underground. But as you'll hear now, the Dream Syndicate was so much different. They didn't have that real pop, jangly, harmonizing melody, the strong melodies that we were seeing with the other three bands.
Right.
Well, you'll definitely hear right away on my pick. So I picked the song that I'm going to play now is When You Smile by the Dream Syndicate.
When you smile.
So that song has 2 minutes of guitar feeding back before the drums eventually kick in. And that was something that was crazy to me, just to hear that. I mean, right off the bat, right on the heels of the very melodic and jangly Bangles, we've got this real raw feedback, just whining.
It's such a departure.
It really is. And it was intentional. So the guitar playing is just insane. And I love it. So the band is made up of Steve Wynn on vocals and rhythm guitar. Carl Percota was the guitar player that was playing that feedback sound. I believe now he's a professor, if I'm not mistaken. Kendra Smith is the bass player. She sang on a song or two on this record. And Dennis Duck has been one of the few members that have been constant through their whole output. This record was their first album, and it's called The Days of Wine and Roses. It was put out on Ruby Records. They had released an EP prior to this, but this was their first full-length record. And to me, it's reminiscent of Velvet Underground. I hear a lot of Lou Reed in the way that Steve sings. But on some of the other songs, I hear a little bit of The Stooges and MC5. But the guitar is so raw. And and it's that rawness that really gets me happy. So it's not till the very, very last chord of that song where I hear like any jangle to it. The rest of it is just that distortion, that feedback. Yeah, and so they had lost Carl Percota from the band for a little while, and they were releasing records with a couple guitar players. And it wasn't until recently that I felt like they got that same kind of vibe that they had when they were recording these songs. And Soraya, when you and I saw them, was the first time that I saw Jason Victor play for them.
Yeah.
And he had, although he didn't play exactly like Carl, he had some of that rawness and that energy that Carl played that I was so happy to see the band hooking up with a guitar player like this Jason Victor. And he's been playing with them ever since.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just kind of gets in that zone.
Yeah.
And he just goes with it. But, you know, I just remember kind of watching him. And this was a guy that just, you know, he just went on a journey. Yeah. And he took us all with him.
Yeah. So you
and it didn't matter how long or how short it went.
Yeah. And you and I were up front against the stage, and I was floored seeing him play, and it just smacked me in the face, like being right up. I'm sure if there was a picture of me, that my mouth was just slack jawed because it was amazing to see, and with Steve singing and Dennis Duck playing drums, and they have Mark Walton, who had joined the band after Kendra Smith left. All those players were there when we saw them, and they were just killing it at that show. And so this song, it's that guitar playing, so much different than we have with Bangles, Rain Parade, or 3 o'clock. But it does harken back to the '60s in more of like the Velvet Underground.
It really kind of takes a different path through that psychedelia, similar to the tracks that we picked from Rain Parade. It takes you on a different path. It's just a different story, and a lot of experimentation, you know, with especially the distortion of sound.
Exactly.
On this album in particular, and then, you know, and we were very innovative, I'll say that. We were very innovative not to pick Days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah.
Because that is the song, and I've heard it described similarly, that is a song that it's like an epic tale.
It really is.
While the track listing may list it at a certain minute, when it's played live, that thing has a life of its own.
It does. It does.
And it just builds. It's like a Lego set. You just keep adding bricks and adding to it. And, you know, one more round of the chorus, and then here I keep going again, just riffing. Bum, 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 bum. And we decided to pick different tracks, which is very cool. But I highly recommend, if no one's listened to a live version of Days of Wonder Roses, you must.
Exactly.
It is a trip.
It is a must, yeah. And if at all possible, catch them live. Cause...
Oh. And they do have shows coming up.
I plan to be at a couple of those.
I have no doubt in my mind that you will be there up front, once again, slack-jawed, watching.
I will. So I'm guessing you didn't pick Days of Wine and Roses then.
No, sir. I picked a very different track. And like I mentioned a bit earlier, I think the guitar is what really... helped me pick the tracks this week, because I really was taken in by this particular guitar riff, but I'll talk about it in a little bit. So I want you all to enjoy Then She Remembered.
We'll be right back.
So quite a different energy from that your pick than my pick.
Yeah, and you know, the reason why I picked this track, one, because of that guitar riff, but also it stood out to me for a few reasons. One, because it was so different than many of the tracks on this particular album.
Yeah, it really does stand out.
I also loved, you know, the cacophony of it all. It was just, you know, it just kept building and building and building, this crescendo. It was just all these noises and, you know, and then, and she remembers what she said. You know, it's just getting louder and louder and louder and noisier, and it's just kind of all over the place. And I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve singing towards the end of that song, it's just like, he's just so energetic and just, I wonder how many takes he had to do of that. Because I imagine if he had to do multiple takes, that his throat was probably tore up.
And he must have fainted by the time. I don't know, you know, take 15. But, so, you know, earlier you mentioned, you know, I can kind of hear stooges and things like that. I can absolutely hear that on this track.
I can, you know,
there is a lot going on. But the other thing that stood out for me is, okay, so this is a song with very few lyrics, but I love the evolution of this chorus. So, you know, and I have to correct myself because I introduced it as "Then She Remembered," and that was just me making a mistake. Yeah. "Then She Remembers." Okay, so it's that active voice. And, you know, it starts out, "Then She Remembers." And then it gets louder and more definitive and more confident. "Then she remembers, and she remembers. And so that idea of memory becoming stronger and stronger the more the song goes on. I just love that evolution.
Oh, wow.
Like, you're the master of listening to all the nuances with the music. And for me, it was all about the wordsmith.
Wow.
I just love that. It was just kind of subtle at the beginning. And then just that voice got louder and louder and definitive. And then she remembers what she said. Then she remembers. I like that about it.
That's great. You know, I've never thought of it in that way. I'm not really a lyric person. I'm more of music and melody. But yeah, that's something, a new and fresh way to look at it to me.
The teacher in me never sleeps.
You are a teacher by trade.
I am. But I like that about it. And it's just a cool song.
It's great. And so once the chorus kicks in, as I said, I'm more into listening to music. The ringing notes of the guitar are so cool. I don't know if it's exactly an arpeggio, but the notes just ring. And right below Steve's "Then She Remembers" chorus line, as you had mentioned before, but those ringing notes under there just sound amazing to me.
And it's just gritty. It's just a gritty song.
Yep, gritty band.
Yes, sir. Yeah, go get thee to a Dream Syndicate show.
Yes.
It's worth your time.
Yep, absolutely. I agree 100%. All right, so we've talked about 3 O'Clock, we've talked about Rain Parade, talked about Bangles, we've talked about Dream Syndicate. Soraya, I think I've shared with you a little bit, but we may have some special guests on future shows coming up.
Told you we were going to blow your minds, people. Jeff is hard at work. But yeah, some interesting additions, so stay posted and keep listening.
Yep.
You're going to be surprised.
Yep. So coming up in the next podcast or two, you should hear an additional voice in addition to Soraya and myself that we're super excited about. Can't wait to hear that. And we've got a lot more music to cover.
Always more music.
Yep. So with that, thanks again, Soraya. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we close up this sophomore slump I called at the beginning? Let's hope that's not the case.
First of all, thanks, Jeff. And second, thank you, listeners. We're enjoying all the feedback, and I'm glad you guys are enjoying our humble little podcast where we just talk about stuff that we like. So keep listening. We're going to keep bringing some new surprises for you. But as we always say, agarubiar, gente.
Groove on, Paisley people.
Later.
Let me try hanging up and calling you back.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.